you found the best place for quality internet talk. Around the clock and around the world. TalkZone.com. Look while you listen live. Visit wildaboutpets.net for more about the show on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to our show and my discussion with our guest, Dr. Stanley Coren, author of The Intelligence of Dogs. Today is July 17th. Our phone lines are open if you'd like to ask Dr. Coren a question. The number is 888-463-6748. I'll repeat that, 888-463-6748, and it's also at the top of the webpage with photos. Speaking of photos, we're going to start going into, in a moment, the three other types of intelligences that dogs exhibit. And if you want to see photographs of the dogs that we're speaking about, click that purple Look While You Listen button you see here on the homepage of TalkZone.com. So, Dr. Coren, we were just talking about the tail wagging does not always mean happy dog. How do we tell then when we do have a tail wagging because the dog is happy?
Well, there is a tail wag which comes the closest to a happy dog tail wag, and that's where the tail is held sort of mid height or low, and it's swinging back and forth with broad strokes, which seems to drag the dog's hips with it.
Oh, sure, I've seen that.
Yeah, now, that's the closest you come to a happy wag, but I call it my fearless leader tail wag, because it really means, it's really a bit of a submissive gesture. It means you are my fearless leader and you will take care of me and I know you won't hurt me. I mean, that's really what it means. But it's the closest that we can come to, you know, I am happy and comfortable here.
Okay. Well, great information. So you also talk about three other forms of intelligence the dogs exhibit, and we're going to briefly go through those. And with picture number 5 that shows a pack of bloodhounds, let's talk about what you call instinctive intelligence. Can you briefly describe what that is?
Yeah, instinctive intelligence is really what dogs were bred to do. So retrievers were bred to retrieve, and herding dogs were bred to herd. Sight hounds were bred to chase, scent hounds were bred to sort of track things by sniffing. And by the way, those little frou-frou dogs which we have on our sofa next to us were bred, in fact, to be empathic and companion animals. So it is what we have bred into the dogs, and it's, you can think of it as their dominant personality characteristic.
Right. Now, Dr. Coren, can somebody train that out of a dog? Like if you have a herding dog, and later we're going to be talking about border collies, because I definitely want to talk a lot about them, you know, and they're doing these annoying habits like trying to nip at your heels or trying to herd, you know, your children. Can this be trained out of, you know, a dog?
You can't usually unwind the genes. It's really there automatically. I mean, you talk about herding, for example. I was visiting a friend a while back, and it had been raining. And she has a little Shetland sheepdog. And there this dog was trying to herd ripples in a rain puddle. and this is part of them. I mean, if you don't want a dog which barks, you don't get a terrier. If you don't want a dog whose nose is more important than his brain, then you don't get a beagle. I mean, that's part of the nature of the dog. So the answer is it's not worthwhile to do it. A classic example of this sort of thing is Ronald Reagan had a Bouvier de Flandre when he came into the White House. Her name was Lucky.
Yes, and we're looking at this photo of number 6 of Lucky, the Bouvier.
And Lucky was Bouviers are herding dogs, and they sort of bump at cattle and nip at them to get them to herd. And Lucky would sort of, you know, do the same thing with anybody visiting the White House. So they'd go across the lawn and he'd bump and he'd nip, or she'd bump and she'd nip. And at one point she actually nipped the presidential butt and drew some blood, and that was just too much because reporters caught it. And you know, Reagan's decorum, sense of decorum was just too high for that. So Lucky ended up on the ranch.
Right.
and was replaced by a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel named Rex, who has no herding ability whatsoever.
Yeah, so poor Lucky was shipped off. So what is adaptive intelligence? And this is picture number 7.
Yeah, adaptive intelligence is really what the dog can learn to do for himself. It's sort of his street smarts, if you will, and that kind of thing. I mean, there's a lot of variability in any dog breed for this sort of thing. So, you know, you'll find, you know, that some Labrador retrievers are geniuses and some of them just sort of, you know, plunk along and that kind of thing. It's like saying, you know, that people are smarter than cows, but I'm sure that there's some people where you have your doubts. And adaptive intelligence is measured directly by sort of, you know, doggy intelligence tests. We have one in the book, for example.
I know, it's great, and it's great fun. And also, I do want to just reiterate that, so adaptive intelligence is that learning ability and problem-solving ability. And I like that you talk about this is really more of an individual case, because, you know, obviously the instinctive intelligence seems to, you know, go along with the breed type, but within breeds, the adaptive intelligence is more individual, and your test is a good way to help identify what your own particular dog's intelligence is.
Mm-hmm.
And let's quickly move down, because I have a couple diagrams from your book. This is photographs number 29 and 30. Yeah, well, no, I'm sorry, 30 and 31, and it shows the 12 different little activities and what, you know, they're trying to measure, and then there's a diagram showing one of the setups of it. But this is all in your book, as I explain, and I love that you say these are fun things that you can just do with your dog.
Yeah, most of the dogs like the attention, and they're interesting little tests, and it's quite pleasant for the dog. Overall. And, you know, my own feeling is it actually helps improve the dog's intelligence because it gives them little problems to solve. And the more we exercise their brains, the smarter they become.
Yes. Well, it makes me wonder, though, Dr. Corin, couldn't a person go beyond your 12 activities and kind of keep going and develop other similar challenges, but getting, you know, putting a little bit of a twist into them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And in fact, that's one of the ways that you improve a dog's intelligence. The science is really quite clear about this, and that is the more thinking and thought-related activities that you give to a dog, the more problems to solve, the more novel situations, the better his brain becomes. You know, we actually have data which shows that these kinds of activities grow new connections inside the brain and basically makes the dog smarter.
And, you know, that is exactly what the latest research in brain development for humans and for young children is showing also. The experiences are key in building those connections. There's a third type of intelligence, which is called working or obedience intelligence. And we're kind of referring to picture number 8 here. What does this mean?
This is really the equivalent of school learning. This is what the dogs will learn when we instruct them, when we try to teach them to do things for us. So it's the sort of thing if you're a parent, you've probably been to one of those awful parent-teacher things, and you sit over there and you watch the gal ahead of you who is explaining to the teacher that, you know, it's not that Johnny can't do math, it's just he doesn't like math, right? And you sit over there and you say, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Basically that's the kind of thing which we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, can you teach the dog certain things and how well do they perform those things? And obviously that's going to depend in some part on adaptive intelligence. I mean, obviously if you have no adaptive intelligence, you're never going to get to that next stage.
Sure.
But it depends on more than that.
And the meaning behind this and the research you did by, you know, getting a lot of information from obedience judges and the ranking of dogs, kind of where they fall, I found extremely important and interesting. And actually, it kind of connects with my own story of a dog that I had fallen in love with, that I had seen a picture of a border collie, and I had never known about that dog. But the minute I saw a picture of it, it's like, oh, I want one of those. And I heard they were very intelligent. This was even before, you know, I knew how, you know, your book ranks it. And I thought, this is definitely the dog I want. And then I really, you know, started reading your book and learning about border collies. And I see this all the time with people who bought them. And now I know that a border collie is way too smart for me and my lifestyle. And so your ranking of them, in your book, you have 69 different dogs ranked, and I have the top 10 and the lowest 10. And I want to say this for me, Dr. Corin, this just means in terms of the kind of dog that you might want, there's nothing wrong with these breeds. It's just that they have different levels, you know, in these types of intelligence. And so you'll see on my website, the next 20 photos are of these rankings of dogs. You say that obviously we can't totally generalize between breeds, don't you? I mean, not every single border collie is going to be the most intelligent dog, will it?
One of the reasons why we did this ranking, and by the way, I think it's important to understand that I didn't do the ranking.
Right.
I mean, the people who watch dogs and watch how they perform, and, you know, every single week virtually, are dog obedience judges. And I contacted every single dog obedience judge in North America, and we got responses from 208 of them, and 199 of them actually gave us, you know, a complete ranking. And that's more than half of all the dog obedience judges in the U.S. and Canada combined. So, you know, these are the real experts in this sort of thing. And what you have to understand is that it's really important to get a dog who fits your lifestyle. It's not just the case that, you know, if you get yourself a border collie, well, I've got this terrifically bright dog who's going to understand everything I tell him. Well, that may be true, but it's also true that a smart dog will learn what he can get away with.
Yes.
So, you know, they can be quite a handful. And very often a dog who is not as bright will, in fact, fit your lifestyle better. As I always tell people, I never gave an intelligence test to my wife, before I married her. I mean, so there are other qualities, you know, and when we're dealing with dogs, you have to understand that we're establishing a relationship here. It, you know, obviously, if you want a working dog, and you want a dog who's going to be a service dog or something like that, then you should start thinking about things like German Shepherds and Labrador Retrievers and Golden Retrievers and Dobermans and that sort of thing, because they have that very high working and obedience intelligence, plus they have the size and the stamina to do those kinds of jobs.
You will see all the photographs of the dogs that Dr. Corin has mentioned so far. If you keep scrolling again to get to those photographs, just click the purple "Look While You Listen" button. When we come back in a minute, we're going to talk more about the pros and cons of smart and not so smart dogs. And there's some great stories that I want you to tell, Dr. Corin. We'll be back in a moment.